Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, November 16th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. Alex, how are things in Cornwall?
Very good, thank you, Graham.
You guys are still in confinement as we are here in Paris, right?
Yes, lockdown maybe for another two and a half weeks.
So how are you getting beer? You can't go to the pub, so you had to buy it at the supermarket?
That's not a problem. It's about a third the price.
Oh, that's true. Good point. All right. So some quick updates for our listeners. We now seem to have a victor in the presidential U.S. presidential race. And we actually wrote a piece the other day, which is called, like, What Does Biden Mean for B-School? And we kind of provided a handful of reasons why we think the Biden presidency and his administration will be a net positive for U.S. business schools. So, Alex, you had a chance to read that. Did you agree with the points that we put out there?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, at a top level, I think it means that for international students, the top tier U.S. programs are now going to be more accessible, and the value proposition that a top tier U.S. business school provides an international student goes up, no doubt in my mind. And as a blue hen myself, I'm very excited to see Joe Biden take charge and hopefully engage further on the global stage, be a bit more inclusive, and good things going forward, I think.
So was he a classmate of yours, Alex?
Well, maybe he was a couple of years before I was. but quite honestly, I think his wife has taken classes at University of Delaware since I left.
Oh, wow.
I think she has graduate degrees and stuff. So they are very much engaged in the University of Delaware, for sure.
Yeah, interesting. I think you said it exactly right, that it's a lot of it's about immigration and the kind of openness and, you know, how welcoming is the United States to internationals. And I think the combination of COVID and the Trump administration's sort of anti-H1B, anti-OPT sort of stance has, you know, definitely put a damper on things, and hopefully that'll be opened up now.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Anything else going on? Like, I know, you know, you typically let us know who's interviewing and what deadlines are coming up. Is there anything? Are we still in that lull between round one?
Yeah, we're kind of in that lull. I think what we'll see either going forward this week or the back end of last week, since we recorded this podcast, a couple of the top schools releasing, I think is the politically correct term, releasing folks that they're not interviewing. So I know Stanford's scheduled to do that and probably has done that by the time we air this podcast. Yale will probably do that, a couple of other schools. There are a few decision deadlines for European schools this upcoming week. I think INSEAD has got one, for example. HSA, Paris also. Mostly it's, you know, schools are interviewing pretty actively at this point. It's a little bit quieter on our site, but certainly not quiet for the actual candidates themselves.
Yeah, that's for sure. Everyone's in this mode of preparing for interviews if they're around one candidate, or if they haven't found success in round one, they're getting ready to kind of add applications in round two. In terms of other stuff that's happening, we've got those Real Humans pieces for both Wharton and Chicago Booth that just went up on the site over the last few days. So those are great reads if you're interested in either of those programs. The other thing I wanted to mention is we did an essay workshop last week with a handful of schools, and that was fun. Alex and I had a good time delivering that. And then we've got one coming up in 2 days' time, right? We've got one this Wednesday, November 18th at noon Eastern. And that one's going to feature Berkeley, INSEAD, Cornell, London Business School, and UNC. So, Alex, I'm looking forward to doing that with you. I guess you're going to get to do, we always have breakout rooms for all the schools at the end of the session, and you're going to host the London Business School session, right?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, the workshop last week I thought was really good. I was fortunate to do the breakout room with Shelley at Georgetown University. Some great questions from the candidates and very sort of forthright, transparent and honest answers, I thought, directly from the school. So very, very good format, great setup. it's a big win, I think, for ClearAdmit to have put this together, quite honestly. And I, for those that haven't been able to participate, I'm sure we make the recordings available on our site. If you're applying to any of these schools that we're featuring, absolutely, this is must view content, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's so rare that you get a chance to ask an admissions team or, you know, a director of admissions, like, why they ask a certain essay question, where it comes from, what they look for. And I think, you know, a lot of the virtual sessions are informative and fun, and people should attend, you know, all kinds of virtual sessions. But I kind of like the deep dive that we're doing on the essay portion, especially as people are kind of in the midst of preparing their applications. So the last thing I wanted to mention is we're still doing our big fall survey. It's an applicant survey. We really need your help to fill it out. You just go to bit.ly/survey fall 2020. And we're actually giving out Amazon gift cards. I think they're like $20 or $25 gift cards. And we're giving out a whole bunch of them. So if you fill out the survey, you just enter to win one of those gift cards. And you'd be surprised how many we have to give out. So it's definitely, your odds are good. So I would fill out the survey if you can. Alex, before we get in to the wiretaps portion, I wanted to tell you that we have another review of the podcast, and it comes from someone whose handle is Ministry to Marketplace, and they say, listen to all these before taking your next step. And the review basically says, love this podcast. The in-depth insights that come from these guys are great for anyone looking to enhance their career and personal goals with an MBA. And it goes on from there. But the part that I liked is they mentioned, it feels like you're sitting at coffee with a couple of mentors listening to the back and forth. And this person actually points out that even if you're not targeting an M7 school, the advice is still very applicable to any prospective student and can help prepare for the admissions journey ahead. So I wanted to thank Ministry to Marketplace for that review. We love your reviews. Keep them coming. And yeah, Alex, I love reading these things. So
no, it's absolutely fantastic. So I think maybe the first candidate we review on Wiretaps today might be the same dude. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I think you might be right. So let's, without further ado, dive in then and talk about Wiretaps candidate number one. All right, so this person has three schools on their target list, and they would like to start this coming fall, 2021, but are flexible and thinking they might have to wait a year. And in terms of their career, they've been in the military. They've done ministry work, which is why we might think this is the person who left us the review. And they currently work at Amazon doing workflow analytics. And post-MBA, they'd love to get into consulting, maybe with a tech angle to it. Companies that they initially have listed are like Deloitte, Ernst & Young, some of the big players there. GPA is 2.7. And this person is an older candidate with 9 years of work experience, located in Arizona, and looking post-MBA to be either in Arizona or they list Nashville as a destination as well. Alex, you had a lot of back and forth with this candidate, and so did some of our starred community members. So what do you make of this candidate, and maybe fill us in on some of the additional facts and figures that have come out in the discussion that ensued?
Yeah, big shout out to our community member who got involved in a very good dialogue, I think, in terms of offering some really good insight and advice directly on ApplyWire. And that's, I mean, for me personally, it's great to see other folk chiming in. Obviously, I read exactly the advice that's being offered and add some additional insight if and where I can. But it's always good to have other people's point of view. This is a super interesting candidate in terms of, you know, this is not an easy sort of, you know, certainly not a black and white situation here. The person has several years of work experience. So that makes them an outlier. The person has a 2.7 GPA. So that makes them an outlier. The person has had to overcome some personal, you know, significant personal issues through this journey. So that makes them an outlier. So these several of these sort of points that they're going to really need to address effectively in their applications. Let's take each of these in turn, Graham, and I'll get your feedback. Sure. On them. The thing that really sort of stands out there right at the very beginning is a 2.7 GPA. This is clearly going to be below average for all the schools that they're going to apply, or and so on and so forth. And they had to overcome some significant issues in terms of sort of depression, alcoholism, and you know, all related stuff, right? And so forth. So for someone like that, Graham, if you didn't know anything else about them, you just knew they had a lousy GPA, or you know, relatively poor GPA, and they suffered these issues, what can they do in order to sort of get their candidacy on track, as it were?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great point. And I should mention, I don't think we kind of pointed it out, but this person is looking at potentially online blended offerings or even a one-year MBA.
Yeah.
That's kind of the preference. So I just want to put that in context because, you know, when we look at stats and things, we have to think about what the targets are too. But I would say, to answer your question very directly, I would say the fact that they have a lot of work experience and that this 2.7 GPA is from like over 9 years ago is helpful, right? Because there's some distance there and they can show progress in the ensuing years. But I think, you know, beyond an optional essay that's going to need to explain what happened, you know, it sounds like they bounced around from school to school. They actually only finished the degree more recently. And I would hope that in finishing it more recently, they had perhaps, you know, better grades in that latter portions of the transcript. But I think they would need to take, and I believe this person is taking, you know, like MBA math. They would ideally get a good test score if the programs they're applying to are going to require a test score. They really have to show that the person they are today is different than the one who, you know, had some really poor marks back in college. I mean, that'd be my advice.
But even if the program they're applying to doesn't require a test score, I would probably encourage them to do very well in a test.
Yeah, right? Great point.
To sort of balance that 2.7. And they suggest they're going to be shooting between a 680 to 700, which again is a very good test score, you know, on you know, in the grand scheme of things, maybe not for the very, very top programs, but for the majority of programs, that's a very good sort of target to aim. They're also planning to do MBA math, as you suggest, Graham, and possibly HBS Core. What do you think about this notion of doing both of these programs?
I don't know that they need to do both. I feel like one or the other would be sufficient. I mean, you know, again, some of it maybe depends on the test score, but if they secure a decent test score, which again, the target range that they're referencing is probably okay for some of these blended online or one-year programs that they're, you know, thinking about. So yeah, I would say just do one of them. I don't know that they need to do both.
I mean, just for this candidate's perspective, this is the first person that I've come across that's signaled that they're going to pursue both.
Yeah.
So it would definitely be an anomaly. And I think, you know, rather than consider doing both, do one extremely well and really do well in the standardized test, in the GMAT. Like, really push those two avenues rather than go down all three avenues, I think would be the better route to go. And I would say, Graham, that admissions committees, I mean, my personal bias, I have good friends that have similar sort of pathways that they've had to overcome in different careers or whatever, but that's perfectly fine. And, you know, to overcome these issues, you know, takes a lot of resolve, a lot of personal sort of resilience. And to then get on a positive pathway to then make an impact. So it'll be really interesting, you know, from their career perspective, how involved, what they've been able to accomplish, how they've been able to make a difference. And I'm quite intrigued by this latest switch to Amazon, what they're doing and the impact they've been able to show there. If they can show a really good positive trend in their career and get a 680 to 700 on the GMAT and do the MBA math, I think they're starting to paint a very sort of positive picture of who they are now and how far they've been able to come.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think that I'm kind of intrigued by both the, I mean, well, all three phases of this person's professional career are intriguing to me. Obviously, the military experience is always, it's a bit of a gold mine for MBA essay material, or at least often lends itself to, you know, leadership, teamwork, et cetera. But then they have this experience doing mega church ministry work. And then COVID hits and they end up kind of landing this role with Amazon doing workflow analytics. And that seems to be going pretty well. They're working for the central operations team. So, you know, there's just a lot to cover. They have a rather complex background, but yeah, I'm hoping that if they can tick the boxes that you're mentioning with respect to doing some of those things to address the GPA, that suddenly they've got this really rich, you know, professional background and set of experiences. And, you know, one that ideally casts them in a kind of that was then, this is now light. So I think there's a lot of potential here. I guess the question comes down to what schools are they going to target? And they, you know, I guess they've added Emory to the list based on the discussions we've had. And I know at the outset, they'd mentioned Kelly at Indiana, Cornell Johnson and Michigan. So they have a bunch of schools that they're kind of considering. But yeah, very interesting candidate. I mean, we don't see someone with this sort of background come down the pipeline very often.
So let me ask you another direct question, Graham. Should this candidate be targeting a full-time program, an online program, blended? Like, what style of program do you think best fits this type of candidate?
Yeah, I mean, this should be relevant for a lot of people listening. When you have a lot of work experience, you can end up in this sort of no man's land between the traditional full-time, you know, kind of two-year MBA and the, you know, executive kind of MBA market. And what's great is that in recent years, there's been more and more on offer to fill that void in the form of these kind of part-time blended, you know, flex programs for working professionals. I'm getting the sense from this person's comments that they don't really want to take more than a year to go do this if they're doing it full-time, and that, you know, it sounds like they, you know, they might even just be willing to work through it and do an online blend or something. And so, but I don't, when I look at this profile, combination of the numbers and the experience and the age and everything, I don't see a kind of traditional two-year type offering in their, you know, kind of future. I feel like they need to do something that's more suitable for where they are in their career. And there are a lot of programs out there, as I say, but I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I think, you know, obviously, COVID-19, this pandemic, is sort of showing faculty and MBA programs more of what they can do with online learning. So I would imagine that online learning MBA programs, blended and so on and so forth, are only going to get richer in terms of what they can offer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. And again, this person's further along in their career, and so on and so forth. The only reason why I would steer this person to a, let's say, a one-year full-time option is if they're looking to sort of ramp up their, you know, their profile, their skill set, or whatever it is, and then move off in a completely different direction or somewhat of a different direction post-MBA. But if it's more of a situation of, you know, I'm in a good spot right now, I'm doing well at Amazon, in terms of whatever the situation is that they have at Amazon, and staying at Amazon for a period of time will actually really help them continue that very positive trajectory, then absolutely an online experience would make perfect sense, I think. And for a candidate that has sort of, you know, quite, I'm not saying disparate sort of experiences, but very different experiences along the way, that might make very good sense. So if that is the case, Graham, and I think the last piece of advice we can offer this person is, if they do go the online route, blended route, what sort of programs should they be looking at?
Yeah, and I think one of the things I'm aware of is that a lot of the one-year MBAs that are out there in the U.S. at least are MBA programs that require you to have already done kind of a lot of business curricula, yeah, you know, in your undergraduate. And so that makes, you know, that's challenging in this candidate's case. And so with that said, I mean, I think it's great that they have Kelly, I guess it's Kelly Direct Online from Indiana, yeah, on their list. That's actually, I think it's the number one ranked online MBA program. And so that would be a great option. I think I had a crazy idea for this person, and this comes a little bit, it may just be completely off the deep end because I don't know enough about Amazon and their operations that they've been setting up in the Washington, D.C. area as their kind of second, you know, headquarters. But I had this crazy idea that Georgetown has an MBA program for working professionals that's like sort of a flex program as well, where you can do online and some in person. And so I was like, oh, maybe get transferred to Amazon, you know, in the kind of DC area and do that program. But again, I don't know, again, this person's situation at Amazon. I don't think they've been there too long. And so maybe they don't have the clout yet to sort of demand a transfer, and they may not be doing operational type work in that office anyway. But that was another program that came to mind. And then, you know, I think that the users on our site gave some good insights. Emory, I guess, had a program that they were that was mentioned, and that's a nice potential target. And the only other thing I was thinking about, and I apologize to this poster that I don't have more info, but if you want to end up in Nashville, you might look at, you know, are there programs in the vicinity there? You know, and similarly, if you're thinking, they mentioned either Arizona or Nashville or Phoenix or Nashville, I guess, you know, they might want to just look, like draw a circle around those two markets, you know, within a few hours driving distance and look and see if there's anything else that might, you know, be good. Because a lot of this, you get into very strong local networks with some of these programs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's an absolute fair point. I would imagine this person's, you know, in terms of their geographic flexibility going up to Washington or whatever it might be a little bit limited because they're further in their career, a little bit older.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some family constraints in terms of flexibility and upping sticks and moving and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But certainly with online programs, I mean, obviously geography becomes less meaningful in terms of you can do the Indiana Kelly online direct, I assume, from wherever you want to be.
Yeah.
And it would require maybe, you know, the odd time flying into Indiana or wherever to do some networking with the fellow classmates. But
yeah,
but that's the beauty of online. You can really do it from wherever you are. But you do make a very good point. The local networks of good programs at a local level actually have a lot of strength. And I, again, let me go back to my days at University of Delaware when I worked in the MBA admissions office there. No doubt our part-time MBA program had high caliber candidates in it from firms like DuPont and Zeneca ICI and various other sort of chemical firms that are in that area, right?
Right.
So these are highbrow people in the part-time program in an MBA program that's less well-known nationally.
Yep.
So looking at those regional opportunities is not a bad thing to do either.
Yeah, agreed. Well, again, I appreciate that person sharing their very unique background and potentially writing a review if it was them that wrote that review. Let's move on, though, and talk about...
And look at that, Graham. If you write a review, we talk about you for at least 10 minutes and not the 5 minutes we try to allot.
Exactly. Although this person, there was a lot to kind of get through. But
yeah.
Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So this woman is applying to 5 schools. She's got Columbia, Cornell, HEC Paris, London Business School, and Wharton on her target list, and she wants to start next fall. She's been working in technology consulting and wants to pivot into straight-up consulting post-MBA. Her GRE is a 322, and her GPA is a 3.63. She's been working for 3.5 years, located in Connecticut, and hoping to land in New York City or abroad after business school. And she does mention that she is from the Northeast, majored in econ and international business with a minor in French, and is currently at a Big Four consulting firm focusing on finance transformation projects for financial services clients. And she's hoping to use the MBA to pivot into strategy or maybe M&A consulting for multinational clients. She did get a chance to work abroad in India for a client, and she's really interested in international opportunities. And so, yeah, that's her profile. She is worried about her GRE and wanted our feedback on that. And so what's your, you had a little bit of a dialogue with her, you kind of gave her some advice, but what's your take on this candidacy?
Yeah, it's a bit more of a monologue, actually. I replied and haven't heard back yet, but there we go. Sometimes that happens on ApplyWire. But But yeah, no, I mean, the reason why I picked this candidate is, I mean, we talked about this a little bit before we went on air, Graham. I'm a little bit puzzled by her school selection. Her ambition to either be in New York City or abroad definitely does open things up in terms of where you would do your MBA, if that's the case. Mm-hmm. But I was a bit puzzled by that. 322 GRE, it's decent, right? It might not be the home run GRE that you want for a very top tier program, but it certainly keeps you within the whatever you call it, the ballpark or whatever the thing is for your sport.
The cricket yard.
3.6, but the 3.63 GPA is pretty good. Economics, I mean, I've got to guess that this person can demonstrate that they're smart. You know, as long as, you know, they've got 3.5 years of experience or whatever it is, as long as they can show impact at work, that's always what we're talking about. They show, you know, that they're better than the average person, they're doing well, they've had some promotions, whatever it might be, that'd be very good. She says that she's done some international experience in India, which actually really stood out to me. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool that she's been over there, done some stuff, etc. So yeah, I think this candidate might be a little bit stronger than she's thinking herself. And, you know, she's applying to Wharton, so it's not like she's under-targeting, mm-hmm. right? She's got Wharton, Columbia on her list. She's got LBS, HEC, Paris, so that's the sort of abroad schools. And she's got Johnson. But, you know, as we mentioned before we came on air, Graham, maybe she should look at one or two more M7 programs just to fill that out. And I don't know if she wants to look at any different programs internationally, but we don't really know much about her personal sort of side of it. So whether she's active outside of work, whether she has these other interests, which again would be the sort of polish on the top of everything else that she provides, but potentially a pretty strong candidate, Graham.
Yeah, I kind of agree with what you're saying here. I guess one of the things that as I looked at the profile, I wanted to know more, right? I wanted to know, like you said, what are her hobbies, you know, outside activities? Is there stuff to round out the file? I also was kind of curious to better understand the caliber of her undergraduate institution, because with a GRE score that's a little light for the very top schools, it would be helpful if that econ major was at a really good school with a, you know, known to be rigorous, right? So that would help her case. The other thing is, yeah, I agree that this target school list, I was having trouble figuring it out a little bit. I mean, I think, you know, one thing that jumped out at me is she's saying she wants to maybe end up in New York, but NYU's not on the list. So she has Columbia, but not NYU. But she does have Cornell, which is in New York State, but not New York City. But I just kind of was trying to figure out, how did she arrive at this list? Wharton's on the list, but that makes sense because they do place a ton of people into New York. It's just down the road in Philly. When it comes to the international stuff, I would just encourage her to look at, like, kind of how able would she be to work in some of these markets. So the UK has actually a pretty good employment scheme for you know, MBA graduates. And I want to say it's either 2 or maybe even 3 years that you can stay on and work. If you attend like a place like London Business School as a US citizen, you can stay on. But I'm less sure about what happens on the continent. So I just would encourage her to kind of look into that, because, you know, if you want to work abroad and build a career abroad, then going to school abroad is great. But if you can't stay abroad after business school and you land back in the States, you might find that the network for the program you attended abroad is not terribly strong in the U.S. and that you would have been better served going to, you know, a U.S. school or something. So I just would encourage her to do the homework on that. But again, I do think, you know, if I were her, I would like take a flyer on an HBS or something. I mean, she has interesting work experience. She did some time abroad with a client. The GPA is really strong. I just feel like there's a potential here. Now, if she tells us, you know what, I have no outside activities, I'm the most boring person on the planet, you've got everything here that I've shared, you know, then I'd say, okay, you know, maybe don't ratchet it up in terms of where you're targeting. But something tells me she probably has other things that she does. So anyway, that's my take. Do you have anything to add, though?
No, I think that's it in a nutshell, Graham. What she does outside of work may be a differentiator in terms of, is this an outstanding candidate that's undershooting a little bit,
yeah,
despite the fact that she's got Wharton in the mix? Or Is she's kind of a run-of-the-mill candidate. I don't think she's a ladder. I think someone that's gone to India and done some work over there, there's something about them, right, in terms of, you know, taking the initiative to do something like that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the firm just sort of decides, well, why don't you just go to India because we've got nothing for you to do here, sort of idea.
Right. All right, excellent. Well, thanks for that post. Let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number three. So this candidate is applying to Columbia, Tuck, and Wharton. They want to start next fall. This person is a data scientist in the insurance industry, wants to get into tech after business school. GMAT score is 770, GPA 3.4, and this candidate has 5 years of work experience. They mention in the notes that they've been promoted once a year, which is well ahead of the typical schedule in their current role. And that they, you know, basically have been responsible for building both high impact artificial intelligence models and cross-functional relationships and have recently won internal awards. They love data and artificial intelligence, but they're becoming more interested in the strategy side of things. And so they're hoping to become maybe a product manager and eventually an executive in tech. They mentioned that they're doing a grad program right now, which is like a part-time master's degree, I'm guessing in a related tech kind of data, you know, data type field, and that they have a 3.9 in that program. But they're worried that the program they're currently completed sort of places people into tech roles. And so they're thinking MBA is their ticket to more of a management position. So you had some back and forth. This person actually did respond to your comments on their profile. So what do you think of this candidate?
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, Graham, this candidate can write their ticket, I think, in terms of the future. If you're that data scientist that loves data, that can manipulate data, all this machine learning and algorithms and various other things, I mean, firms are going to absolutely want you. If you're that person and you want strategy, I mean, I just think that's brilliant. So, I mean, my only question for this candidate is, please, are you involved in any non-geek activities? I mean, will I enjoy being around you? You know, if you can check that box too, then, yeah, absolutely fantastic potential for this candidate. I mean, there's no doubt this candidate has massive upside. They can write their ticket. As they say, they've completed this part-time master's program with a 3.9 GPA. They could step right into a highbrow technology role right out of that. Not a problem. But they want something different, and I like that. They're seeing an opportunity. They're looking at the MBA to allow them to step into that opportunity. Any big tech firm would want someone that knows the MBA stuff, but is a complete geek on the data science side. And you know, they say they've been promoted several times ahead of the thing. So they're obviously doing really good data science work. So I got to think that the world's... I mean, it doesn't hurt to have a 770 on the GMAT either, Graham. I mean, obviously, they're a little bit concerned, 3.4 GPA. I imagine that's in an engineering discipline. So I wouldn't be so concerned about that, as well as when you map on top of a 770 GMAT. I mean, if they're a geek, I mean, it's kind of hard to look at their numbers and say, well, is this person going to struggle in our MBA program? I don't think they're going to struggle in any MBA program. So, yeah, I love this candidate, Graham.
So agreed. So I want to say one thing, and then I have a question for you that I'm curious to get your take on. So I, first of all, agree wholeheartedly that the 770 coupled with a 3.9 in a currently being pursued part-time master's is enough to satisfy the academic equation here. Like, I feel like the 3.4 undergrad is fine too. And so there's no, that's kind of enough said there. And I think the person did say, and you know, you politely said, are you involved in any outside of work non-geek activities? And they mentioned they have a passion for writing and languages, and that's what their extracurriculars are typically revolve around. And I thought that was cool as well. And they have some local level leadership. So I feel like, you know, they have a lot going for them. But I wanted to ask you, this person didn't say where they're located. At least I didn't pick up on it. And they didn't say anything about whether they fall into an overrepresented portion of the applicant pool. So I just wanted to ask you, like, if this candidate were, let's imagine they're in India and they have an undergraduate engineering degree or something, which I don't think is the case. But would that change your point of view on the candidate?
I mean, obviously, if that is the case and they're coming from a sort of an overrepresented group, then it does change the conversation slightly, right? I mean, you've got to adjust it a little bit because you've got to recognize there's probably more folks in your pool that have that sort of geek sort of perspective in terms of, you know, data science and so forth. But still, this person's done some pretty hardcore stuff and seemingly has been very successful in doing it, as it resulted in several promotions. So, but yeah, I mean, let's be frank, Graham, absolutely that does change the conversation a little bit. And I'd not thought about that that issue. But I didn't get that. And the fact that they speak several languages and writing is a thing. Yeah, I'm not sure that that will be the case, but it might be. And yeah, would things change a little bit? Then you would have said, well, maybe if you'd have gone in the first round, your chances would have improved a little bit because they've already admitted a bunch of people that look a little bit like you. So that's going to present a few more challenges. But yeah, let's assume that's not the case, but it might be the case. So they've got to take that into consideration. I do think they need to expand their school list a little bit. You know, Columbia, Tuck and Wharton, all great schools, and, you know, with great execution on their applications, they might well yield an offer or two out of there. But I don't really know why you wouldn't throw in, you know, on the East Coast, certainly Sloan looks like it would fit the bill. I mean, that's stereotypical, right? Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Mm-hmm. So you'd be surprised they're not looking at Sloan.
Yeah.
But maybe they're trying to get rid of the stigma of the fact that they're a bit of a geek.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to sort of move away from that. But I think Sloan's a very good opportunity. Again, Stanford might be a good opportunity. Haas on the West Coast, if they want to do stuff in terms of product management with big tech firms or something on the West Coast might be a good idea too.
Yeah, I agree. They might want to cast a wider net. And I thought of some of the same schools you're mentioning. I also wondered, you know, it just seems like it's a narrow list, and maybe some of it's related to where they're currently located. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
But I will say, the other thing that struck me about this candidate and why I think they're going to be successful is, and I only have a tiny bit to go on, but the writing in their notes was very clear and well, they very concisely and compellingly kind of conveyed their background. And so that promises, that bodes well in terms of how they're going to write their essays. So I think this candidate's a winner. Again, I just, I wondered about school selection because when I look at what they want to do with their career, the list that they start with here, which is a little short, it's only three schools, didn't necessarily jump out at me as like, oh, those are the three schools I would recommend given what I know about the candidate. So yeah, just something for them to chew on as they put together those round two applications. They still have a little bit of time before those deadlines, so there's time to think on it. But appreciate them sharing. Alex, any final words on this profile?
No, I really like this profile. I didn't mince any words on the apply wire to say. I mean, I love geeks, so I think this is very good. And I think we're out of time, Graham. I know I want to make sure that this file can get to you safely and doesn't get stuck on the internet somewhere.
All right. So thanks for picking these out. We'll be back in 1 week's time with another episode of Wiretaps. And please remember to rate and review this podcast and tell everyone you know about it so that we can keep producing it and keep having, you know, great admissions advice coming your way. So thanks again, Alex, and we'll see everyone in 1 week's time.
Brilliant. Thank you, Graham, and everyone. Stay safe. Good luck.